Hey, AfterBuzz TV fans, tune in now. We're talking about Into the Badlands, The Widow and Gaius, Pilgrim and MK, and Baiji and Sunny. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So good. The song, classic. If you guys have seen The Karate Kid, classic.
Even the new Cobra Kai series, you're going to see why we chose this song, especially when we review tonight's episode.
Exactly. I mean, the best around. Once upon a time, maybe it was The Karate Kid. In the Badlands, it seems to be the Chow Clan. Because they, a big reveal today was huge. That they were the first Baron. Was a Chow, a Horatio Chow. So throwback city, throwback Monday. but yeah, we've got an all broed out episode for you guys tonight, so get excited.
Asian bro night.
Yeah, yep. Justin's here beside me. We got Anthony in the booth. I'm JB. Let's talk about it. Great episode. It was a little bit different. We got a lot of backstory this time around. It wasn't so much, I mean, we flipped back and forth between the present time period and the past. But it was really cool to see how everything connects, pretty much. You know, namely with the Widow and Gaius, this new character that we got last week.
Yeah, I mean, I totally got to say, this episode was just not – it wasn't as good as – last week's episode.
Right. You know? Well, yeah, the cannibal assassins set the bar pretty high. Am I right?
Yeah. Even the title of the episode, which is kind of like, okay, we're kind of back to the more like cryptic, you know, titles of the actual show. But no, I mean, I liked it. In terms of what you said, it definitely did set up the backstory
right.
of the actual relationship, which is so crucial because a lot of it is, it's pronounced Gaius. Gaius?
Gaius?
Gaius, Gaius. Anyone in the chat group
it's
right now?
Gaius.
Gaius.
Like yeah.
Gaia, but with like an S, I think.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. I mean, shout outs to Louis Tan, you know, for joining the show and everything else like that. He was also in Deadpool this week.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw that. He's got a really good, funny character in Deadpool, too.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
Shatterstar in Deadpool. But no, I mean, I feel like the way that it set up, the way that the actual episode started, which is kind of like the way that it kind of set the tone for everything, which is kind of like I felt like this entire episode was just big reveals.
Right.
You know, which basically connected to like past characters.
So. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, this was obviously less action-packed than other episodes have been, specifically this season, because it's been such a crazy start to the whole season three. But I did like how it was pretty like content-filled. I mean, a lot of TV series, like when they have more procedural episodes or, you know, just to kind of take a break from having as much action, there isn't a whole lot that happens. And I appreciated that even though this was more of a informational episode, like it actually made sense. It was a high importance. Like it actually gave us, you know, backstory that I think was really necessary. I mean, when they introduced this new character, Gaius, it was like, who is he? He's like Chow's brother. But like,
yeah.
We didn't really know much more than that. And so now there's really a lot more reason for him to be aligning with the Widow. Like it makes a lot more sense why, you know, sort of in a Game of Thrones way, he's like fighting against his sister.
It's kind of interesting because like I kind of feel, and I don't know, maybe in the chat group you guys can like, you know, say what's up and let me know what you guys think. There might be some sexual tension between the Widow and Gaius just because
totally.
Of the fact that like they knew each other, and it still blows my mind that her name's Minerva.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's Minerva. Like, I know you. I know you, Minerva, right? Like he doesn't call her like the Widow because they knew each other like for so long ago. But then even when you see kind of like their relationship as kids between the Baroness and you know, Gaius, it's like, you know, the whole scene to be a Baron, you know, a Baron is going to have no mercy, which hence, you know, the title of the song that we played from The Karate Kid, Strike Hard, Strike First, No Mercy. But you can kind of see like their relationships back then and kind of how it is now in the sense of where you do see the Baroness Chow like super kind of cold, calculating, you know, doesn't hesitate. Where Gaius is just kind of like, I don't necessarily know if I could do it. But, you know, you saw that relationship in the beginning and then you're kind of seeing it unfold now because you don't really know where Gaius's like loyalty lies. Obviously, blood is thicker than water, but then again, he's siding himself with, you know, different people. He's being a stowaway in the Widow's car. So, I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what else happens happens for the rest of the season.
Right, right. Yeah, it was interesting that he only like knocked on the inside of the trunk like when they got there. Yeah. It's like, how like,
let me out, please.
Yeah, just it's really hot in here. Man, pretty funny stuff. But you know, I did like how that sort of unfolded, and he, I completely agree with you. I think that he is in love with Minerva. Like it sort of.
Well, I mean, dude, look at her. You know,
yeah. It's she's not a bad choice.
Not a bad choice. You know, out of all the people you can love on the show.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and I think that was a smart move, especially on the writing staff's side, because it really humanized Minerva into like a more likable character. Like for a while, she was kind of just the enemy, or sort the of widow, like the person, man. Yeah, like the person that is the most or just the easiest to hate or kind of villainize. But now, like she's really kind of becoming a more of a good character that like you're rooting for. Yeah. I mean, she's always been badass, so like it's been cool to.
It's kind of like she's becoming more like a babyface. In wrestling, you talk about the heel and the babyface. The heel is obviously the villain, right? The villain that you want to root for. But then eventually, the heel kind of becomes the babyface, and we're kind of seeing that as you totally mentioned, just in terms of the evolution of the actual character. But it's really interesting to see. And I mentioned this on previous shows of like how every single character somewhat connects to one another. Like the show does a really good job of just kind of intertwining everyone's story. So it's not like, you know, Baji and the Widow don't have a connection. Well, they do have a connection, right? It's like not like Baji and Pilgrim. Like Baji, like every single character intertwines with every single character. So you think like MK is probably not going to have a connection to, you know, Nyx or someone else. Like they do. They maybe in the past or the present or the future. So shout outs to the writers for actually really doing a great job of that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really cool that they think so deeply about these characters and how much overlap there is. I mean, again, the Battlelands is very, it's kind of incestuous in itself, like with everybody knows everybody. It's sort of a big community. Obviously, there's some war lines happening, but it's everybody's familiar. Everybody knows who everybody is. Like there is sort of a connection with everybody, and it's interesting to see how many everybody has, and so like that's what's cool as the show continues, like, and everything's unraveling, like how deep it really goes, because you know we knew that the Widow had a connection with Baji, and like everything
got trained
it just by like Baji. Keeps getting bigger and bigger, and to know that the Widow was also a part of was a cog for the Chows at one time is really interesting as well. So it's cool to see the overlap and why they hate each other so much. I mean,
I'm sorry. I got an interesting comment from LaToya Morgan.
Ooh, excellent. Yes, so, one of the writers of the show.
One of the writers of the show says, I think I was supposed to be a guest on this week's episode, but I'm glad I'm not since they're talking shit about the episode.
Oh, what?
LaToya Morgan. Wow. I got to say, we are not talking smack about the episode at all. I don't know. The Blind Cannibal Assassins was just like an amazing episode.
Yeah, it's more because you guys set the bar so high.
I know. But apologies from both of us if you feel like we're talking shit, because we're definitely not.
We're dissecting.
But yes.
No, yeah. I mean, I definitely enjoyed this episode as all episodes. It's just, again, when this season started off so incredibly strong with so many cool fight scenes, because this is more informational. I liked it from a season-wide perspective, but I mean, how do you top Blind Cannibal Assassins?
I mean, the Baji smash, like whoever wrote that, I mean, genius. Like, I mean, that was the kill of the week last week,
right?
But I'm sure we're gonna have some amazing more kills for the rest of the.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, that was one of my top kills of the series in general, I think. The Baji Slam. It was, I think they reposted it on their social media Instagram thing. The Baji Smash or Slam.
Yeah. Baji.
Either way,
Baji Slam,
amazing.
Like that.
Probably the best move ever. It'd be my go-to if I was Baji. But yeah, a lot of great moves in general. I can't wait to see what other moves they have when MK really steps up. I mean, he just joined Pilgrim, which we can talk about. And
we're definitely going to talk about that.
Sure, there's going to be more awesome moves to begin with. Speaking of moves, at the end of our show, we'll definitely talk about our favorite moment. There's some cool pretty big fight scene that this whole episode leads up to in the end when sort of you get Chow or Gaius, Chow, Moon, and Odessa like all on the same side as the refugee camp gets raided. Pretty cool. Pretty cool moment. But yeah, we a lot to look forward to. But before we get there, do you want to talk a little bit about Maria Menounos's?
I do. So, guys listening, girls listening, want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our very own AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be a better in all aspects of your life. From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. I've always wanted a big sister, and I would love to have Maria to be my big sister. But just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free, and be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know that it was the AfterBuzz Into the Badlands After Show that sent you there. Conversations definitely. With Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
Awesome. Definitely check that out. It's good, good show, and free, as always, as everything is here at AfterBuzz. That's how we like it. But let's talk about, because we just teased this, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Pilgrim and MK kind of wakes up. He instantly turns on the black eyes, and Pilgrim just throws that piece right at him, shuts it down.
Pilgrim is actually, like, I think he's starting to be one of my favorite characters on the show. Like, I feel like there's just something about him that kind of draws you to him. Like, he's very kind of like, he's very cultish in the sense where he's kind of like recruiting people. Right. And the fact that he was able to recruit MK into his cause. And it's interesting because he doesn't have the gift, right? He doesn't have the dark gift, but he's actually able to control the dark gift, which is actually, it's like, would you rather, you know, I'm gonna put this out there. Would you rather have the dark gift or would you rather be able to control something like that?
Great question. I mean, yeah. I think because of what we know of the dark gift, I would probably want to control it just because Condessa, I believe her name is, his priestess.
Yeah, the priestess.
She says that, like, they do not live very long, the people with the dark eyes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from Sunny, who hasn't, like, really activated it yet.
Well, that's interesting because it's like when Sunny and Baji, you know, went to see the healer, you know, told him, like, essentially, he's what is known as a catalyst. Mm-hmm. So this person basically has it deep within them. But yeah, like, he hasn't activated yet. But imagine Sunny being the most dangerous clipper in the Badlands, being the most badass. But now, in addition to that, he has a dark gift. I mean, like, dude, crazy unstoppable.
Right, exactly. And, like, I mean, well, yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment. But pretty crazy stuff that I definitely want to get into. But with MK, I mean, he, you know, Caster is clearly dying. Like, he is bleeding without any cause, just in general. Like, his body just seems more spent, you know, with everything. And even the priestess says, like, there's really nothing we can do. I mean, you're going to die anyway. If you don't activate your powers, you might live, like, a little bit longer. But it sounds like it's kind of like a cancer type of disease where it's just like there's literally nothing.
Every single time you use your power, it weakens you and you basically die in that right. sense. I mean, it's kind of interesting because you actually see, like, I don't want to skip ahead, but you kind of also see what happens to him. Because I feel like you saw more of Caster in this episode, and essentially you saw the confrontation between him and MK versus Nyx. You know, like, was that necessarily like a jealous rage, or was that just kind of like Dark Gift kind of just messing with him?
You know? Yeah, I mean, to me, it was definitely a jealous rage because I think, you know, as Lotoa pointed out, they're not brother and sister. So I think Nyx and Caster definitely, I mean, they're obviously very close, but they had, I feel like they're more romantically involved because he whipped out like the, oh, you're sharing her bed, like real quick.
I mean, Nyx is just, I mean, if I was in a
she's beautiful.
I mean,
so.
Nyx is gorgeous, right? She's super gorgeous. And I feel like it's kind of like the same thing because he kind of like, it's kind of like when you see someone and you're kind of like, you know, you're you're almost kind of being friend-zoned, and you kind of see another guy with maybe a potential of possibly stealing the girl that you like, even though the girl doesn't really think of you like right. that. You kind of get intimidated, and he's like, oh, well, you know, he's not even like one of us. Like, you saw, like, he wasn't even cut, and he was able to start his, like, you know, thing and everything else like that. Like, oh, so what now? Like, are you his girlfriend? Are you going to share his bed? And I'm just like, you know, Chris, like, yo, bro, chill yeah. out, man. Like, relax, bro.
He definitely went 0 to 60 pretty quickly.
Yeah, real quick.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that they have a really tight bond, and you know, maybe they haven't been – they're not, like, Facebook official. But I think it's clear that Casser has feelings for Nyx. And they both care about each other. But, obviously, you know, I think Casser made it clear that he loves her in a way that, like, would bring out the jealous rage. And it clearly did. Plus, you know, yeah. I think he senses that he's getting weaker and something's wrong and that he's being replaced. Not just that it's, you know, someone swooping in on your girl, but, like, you're also your job. Like, it's yeah. literally, like, everything is kind of fleeting away from his – like, slipping through his fingers. And to see that happen and not be able to do anything about it, I think would be super frustrating.
I'm going
to
be kind of interesting to see, like, his character and where it's going to go for the rest of the season and whether or not he's actually going to make it or something else is going to happen to his character. So we're just going to have to find out and see.
Yeah, it was crazy, again, with the priestess, sort of when she gave him the very bad news of there's nothing you can do. The only alternative was sort of his sacrifice. Like, she was like, yeah, we'll go out swinging, pretty much. Which, I mean, he's been conditioned to be a fighter, and he said that it was the only thing he really knew. So I don't think he's that opposed, but it's still, you know, it just shows how tough it is in the Badlands. Like, that's sort of what life is like. You just have to go out. Like a
one thing that I've always appreciated about the show and the writing and what they do well is how every single person on the show just basically has some sort of vendetta or like revenge on their mind, right? Every single person is just trying to like get theirs, which I feel like revenge is one of those things where like every single person can kind of relate to and right. they would deeply, you know, get satisfied from having right. revenge. So,
yeah, I mean, revenge is a great motivator. I think that's obviously what's driving MK.
Yeah.
That is a lot of characters. I mean, even the Widow, to a large extent, is driven by revenge. I'm sure, you know, Gaius is as well. We don't know yeah. all of his motivation, but for him to go against his sister, there's got to be some super deep brooding revenge stuff there. I mean, he tiptoes around it, so we can kind of guess because she just seems like a... not a nice person, his sister. But, you know, I think there's got to be something more specific other than his whatever feelings for the Widow.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, maybe it's something to do with Mercy and how, you know, Chow doesn't really have any and Gaius clearly does. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I feel like this episode really revolved around kind of like Mercy, like if you saw in terms of the actual dagger, it was inscribed No Mercy, and just the fact that, you know, the child's like, you know, it was Horatio Chow who basically said, you know, a baron's, you know, job is not to be.
Right.
You know,
so that wasn't, so yeah, their dad isn't the first baron, because his name is different. I don't know if we can check what it is, but it's not. Yeah, Horatio was like the first baron.
LaToya did say that the father of Gaius, his name in the script was Alexander.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, LaToya.
Perfect, LaToya. Kyle, I
believe. So yeah, he's their dad, and he obviously is not not the most warm fella in the Badlands. But you know, again, it's a harsh world. I mean, backstory of the Badlands was sort of started with killing. Like, the Horatio was like pretty yeah. much murdered his way to being the first Baron, and it seems like it had been that harsh sort of mindset since then, because Alexander rules in a similar way where he is all about harsh discipline, makes the Widow get lashed a bunch of times, and was going to have his son Gaius do it on his birthday. Like, that's pretty messed up. When it was clear that, like, he, you know, liked, there was a friendship there. I mean, how deep that goes, we will see, obviously. But
it was definitely, there was a likeness to him. I feel like Gaius like was really mad crushing on Minerva when
oh,
they were
right.
young.
And yeah.
I feel like it's that kind of love in the Badlands that just so sorry, I don't think people were hearing me that bad. Good. It's just that kind of love in the Badlands that blossoms through the sake of showing mercy. And it was Gaius himself who showed mercy to Minerva when she was in that pit and helped her escape and everything. So
exactly.
I'm actually seeing an opposition. I'm opposed to what Justin said, but it's about mercy. I think it's about, well, the episode isn't about like not showing mercy, but it's about like what happens when you actually show mercy. You end up giving birth to a personality and a mindset of Minerva who I think wants to actually change the Badlands, but she... Like to change, in order for anything to change, especially in this kind of world, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed before we reach that change.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Because you know, I think that when Minerva has shown mercy, it's worked out. I mean, she obviously extended that to Tilda, and now that they're back on good graces.
Also, yeah, building off that real quick, she built her whole army off of showing mercy to people.
Right, yeah, welcoming in refugees. Obviously, Lydia is doing the same thing, welcoming people. And again, that's how you build up your army. And because Chao doesn't really do that as much, she has to go and like steal more people to recruit and get them to Pilgrim. So yeah, I think there's a ton of ways that mercy can benefit you despite what Alexander Chao had preached.
Yeah. I mean, to piggyback off that, I just, you know, it's a great point. I also think about how, look at it, the mercy that they showed when they were kids, right? Originally supposed to be Gaius Chao, you know, freaking hitting her, but she didn't do it. And when he's locked up in a cage, that's all he's saying is like, don't you forget what happened, what I did,
right,
and all this stuff. So I don't know, like, you know, is he supposed to be executed in the next like day?
Hopefully,
or, like,
not.
Yeah, hopefully
I like
not.
I like it, the dynamic.
But like something will happen
lot.
In the morning. But I think what'll happen is probably, you know, Minerva will probably like, you know, show him some mercy and everything else like that.
She better. I mean, she gave him she armed him and they fought alongside each other. So I think the things are going in the right direction. But I do kind of want to find out more. He laid it out, like, the big details. Like, yes, I helped you escape, like, back in the day when you were locked and being punished in, like, the pig pen. But it didn't say how. I mean, I guess it's not that important, but I was still curious.
Maybe they're probably going to show that in, like, the later,
right,
you know, more flashbacks.
Also, how did she get the dagger back? If that's the thing that she left, I was like, how did she have it now? I mean, it's been a long time. So granted, in, like, the whatever 20 years that it's been since she's been there, you know, you can probably track down the dagger. Still, that was definitely something that stuck out in my mind. How did she get the dagger back?
I thought it was the dagger that was left in the pen, which is what she used to escape, and that was placed by Gaius, and she kept it with her. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I thought she said, because she said, I guess just the phrasing she used was like, there was something left behind.
Yeah.
But that makes a lot more sense, that's what he left her.
Yeah, exactly.
To
escape.
To escape. So the only the person who would know is the person who left that.
The
right.
person who helped her
who
out.
The person who helped her. So he wouldn't have known if he didn't help her out. It's like, oh, there's a dagger, which is no mercy.
Yeah, so he prefaced that whole conversation with, like, didn't you ever wonder how you escaped? And it was me. It was his. He was the reason that she escaped.
No, that actually does make a lot more sense, because I was also wondering, like, why she – because I got confused, like, – because it was a gift. He mentions it was a gift from Alexander, and obviously the widow wouldn't have gotten a gift like that from him. But clearly his son would have, like, on his birthday. So now it's all adding up. Thank you.
Shout out to the writers.
Yeah. Touché. It does – things check out.
Yeah.
Speaking of checking out, though, please check out our podcast on iTunes and rate and review our show. Hopefully, if you guys like it, you can give us 5 stars, but definitely tell us what you do like. If you want to hear a new segment or something we didn't go over or whatever, your thoughts and comments are very welcome there. It's how we can make the show better. But it also, those types of things definitely help us know if we're moving in the right direction, if we're talking about all the stuff that you like, you want to hear, and definitely helps us keep the lights on here and keeps the content free and accessible for you guys. So please rate and review on iTunes. The big story, I think, is Baiji and Sunny. Anything with Sunny just has my interest because Danny Wu is a badass.
Yeah. It's kind of like they're trekking. They kind of remind me of just like C-3PO and like R2-D2, just kind of like trekking around.
Yeah, they've been on this long journey to help Henry. And, you know, it's really the only thing that Sonny can't do, really. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that he's powerless to kind of fix because he's he's pretty much the best fighter known to man.
But and fighting's not going to help your son, though.
Exactly. You know? Not at all. And you know, him as like a new – it's a new role for him. He's just, like, very fish out of water. And I kind of like that it's just a new setting for him, and to see how he struggled with that is pretty cool. But finally, they reach Ankara, this mad witch, and she fixes him, kind of.
Temporarily.
A
temporary fix for, like, it's like putting, like, a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. Right. So, what did you think of the baby drowning scene?
Yeah, that was interesting. She submerges him in water what was interesting is she channeled Sunny's like power, his energy from Sunny into Henry, but Sunny like kind of came up to her unannounced. It was kind of like he was rushing her in concern for Henry. Had he not done that, it's like, what, you know, would it have been as effective? Did she know that he would do that? Like, is that sort of part of her reasoning to not explain what she was doing, so that he would do that?
I thought about that too, and I think it just it's a little minutia thing of the show. I don't think it's like too important, you know.
Yeah.
But what I didn't realize it was that in Catholic religions, I believe when they baptize a child, like Sonny has not been. Well, I guess he was baptized in blood, but in this instance, it's like a certain rebirth for using Henry, but for Sonny. It's like a rebirth of Sonny when they dunked his child in. He has his like powers semi-awoken, and he's informed and enlightened that he is a catalyst for the black eye magic that's going on.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely heavy religious undertones in that scene. I mean, it definitely reminded me of like, you know, a baptism when you're dunking them in water, but you know, also with a lot of other like more spiritual religions.
The one thing that kind of stuck out
fingers.
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out for me was like you saw like the darkness kind of like coming out of him, right? So in the water, you see just like it's kind of like the black ink and black everything. Kind of remember there's an episode of the X-Files. It was kind of like that, but it was kind of like it was just kind of just coming out of him, and it was kind of signifying that, you know, the gift was kind of like coming out of him,
right?
So even though it is kind of like temporary.
Going off of that, there's that shot that it looks like it's like it looks like it's the child's POV shot looking up at Sunny, and this darkness is slowly consuming Sunny like 007 style, like the darkness is shrouding his face like slowly.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it and the way that the witch kind of explained was taking power from Sunny and putting it into Henry, but like I wonder if there was some of the darkness that was flowing out of Henry and maybe back into Sunny, or maybe like awakening that part of him a little bit more, because that was the first time that we've seen it was right after that that incident, and it was actually pretty cool. I mean, just a testament of how powerful Sunny probably is. The witch like barely like touched his head and like exploded backwards and almost died. So we can hopefully expect some pretty awesome scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I want him to release the gift. Or
right? Just like turn into a dragon or something.
Like whatever he has. Right? Yeah. I want to see it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Sonny's always been my favorite character. And just like, you know, he is kind of the face of the show. So for him to have been the best fighter, you know, without the gift, you add that like Super Saiyan powerness to him, I think he's going to be unstoppable. And now that he's on this road to meet Pilgrim, that's going to be really, really interesting, because it seems like Pilgrim's the only guy that can be more of a permanent fix for Henry. And he's already shown that ability with MK kind of switching that, the piece on.
That's why, like, the writing on the show is so good, because everything just intertwines so well. Like, there's no loose ends on the show. You're kind of like, well, what about this? What about this? And then they intertwine the characters so much. And even, you know, with the very end where, you know, the priestess is kind of like, she's like kind of drawing, which is essentially all the marks from, you know, Sunny's, you know, kills, and MK recognizes it.
Right.
You know, so a lot of it is just kind of MK's searching for Sunny, Pilgrim's searching for Sunny, and then Sunny's searching for the guy who can, you know, cure his, you know, son, even though he doesn't necessarily know what it is.
Right.
But I think, like, within the next few episodes, we're definitely going to see all that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like, again, like, everything has been kind of building up, and now that we're heading into episode, like, the deeper end of the series or the season, it's going to be interesting to, where they all start to converge, and it's been building. I mean, Pilgrim wants Sunny. The priestess just had that vision of his tattoos. Obviously, MK wants to track down Sunny as well, and now that, you know, they're all sort of in the same place, they're all heading towards each other, it's going to be really interesting, especially since Pilgrim needs Sunny to be alive, and MK
is underneath Pilgrim, yeah, who wants to kill Sunny,
right,
for killing his mom. But then Pilgrim's like, no, it's, you know, you have to welcome him as your brother. And
yeah. Well, no, I'm going to be really curious how that meeting goes down, because clearly we're going to get a very emo MK.
Yeah.
You know, which, with good reason, Sunny apparently killed his mom, so, you know, that's a deep wound. But there's really nothing that MK can do other than, like, his biggest power, like, against Sunny would be pulling his dark powers out. And we know that Pilgrim can just shut that down. So it's going to be, you know, I think he really doesn't have an option other than doing what Pilgrim says and following his orders.
Yeah, it's weird, because, like, you're starting to notice, like, more people are starting to get the dark powers. And then if Sunny has a dark power, MK has a dark power, you know, one-on-one. But then again, you also have, yeah, like you said, Pilgrim shutting down the powers is, like, what's going to happen?
Right. Yeah, I guess the only, I mean, threat would be if MK does something towards Henry or something. Just yeah, as, like, kind of an eye for an eye. That would be way dark, though, even for MK. So hopefully that doesn't happen. On a lighter note, let's talk about the most badass moment from the Badlands episode. I'll go first. My favorite was when Caster was riding the motorcycle and, like, just sliced people's necks, like, with his handlebar sword.
It was staff. Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird. Like, the one thing I thought of, like, there was a scene in, like, Jackie Chan's Rumble in the Bronx where he kind of takes the knife and he kind of, like, you know, all the cars.
Right.
It was kind of similar to that. But yeah, I feel like that was a really, really good scene. And you really saw a lot of the character development for Caster in this episode. But I'd say probably the most badass moment for me was just, it's really simple. It was just like when Pilgrim showing up at Chow's place and you just see a bunch of heads, like, rolling, like,
yeah,
like rolling right in front of, like, their freaking feet. I'm like, what a great introduction,
right,
you know, to, like, cause it's weird, because last week you saw Pilgrim and the Widow, right?
Right.
Kind of, like, are they teaming up? Not teaming up? And then next thing you know, now he's finding another partner in, you know, Baroness Chow. It's like, well, are you teaming up? Are you not teaming up?
Right.
It's like, so it's just like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Pilgrim is the X factor this season.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. And that's a really sweet moment, because other than, like, how intense it was, like, seeing all these rolling heads, there were literally just the three of them. I mean, the priestess doesn't really fight too often, so there was kind of just Pilgrim and his two, like, bodyguards against Chow's entire army, pretty much. I mean, aside from the ones that are already on the front lines doing battle, but everybody that's at the fort, there was a whole, you know, hillside of her and her people, like, that for them not to be doing anything when he just showed that he killed, like, all of her, like, high up people. It was a pretty ballsy move.
Yeah.
So, I mean, kudos to him.
One of the shout outs to the people in the chat. Thank you guys so much for commenting. Keep up the comments. One of the comments from Lee L at L E E L is, I think Sunny trying to protect Henry will awaken Sunny's gift and he'll be unstoppable.
Yeah.
So, do you think just basically kind of, it's just kind of like a paternal, like, thing, right? You see, like, mother's intuition or just like a paternal thing. Like, yeah, I totally see Sonny just going like crazy Super Saiyan if and when, you know, the time comes when his son's going to be,
right,
you know,
threatened. Right. Yeah, no, I think it's the one tie he really has to the world, and he even said that he is living for Henry now. Like, I don't think he really cares what happens to him or anybody that exists. I mean, he's already lost Vale, so, you know, there's really no – the only thing he's living for is to save Henry and to make sure that he is safe. And, you know, obviously he's an infant, so he can't do anything to defend himself. So I think anything bad even comes into, like, the airspace of Henry, and they're going to get the wrath of Sonny.
I'm kind of curious to see what the rest of the season is going to bring, though.
Totally, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Speaking of which, there is – so we have some news. It's not – great, unfortunately. There won't be an episode next week, which is very sad.
Womp womp.
I know. Womp womp. But we will be back in June. So, hey, it's Memorial
Day. Enjoy Memorial Day.
Everybody can have some time off. Hopefully you won't be working that day. But we'll make some predictions for when we do come back.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So, yeah, I mean, they set up a lot of stuff this episode. Obviously, we talked about, you know, Pilgrim and MK all converging with Sonny and that storyline, which is brewing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm actually a little bit more curious about what's happening with the Azra storyline, which we've always kind of danced around in the show. The Pilgrim is really recruiting a huge – he needs 1,000 people just from Chao to, like, you know, be excavating something. And I'm really curious to see what that is, you know, what could be underground. I mean, everything that we've seen in the little, like – I love that, like, retro little, like, slide thing.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what is that? What is that thing called? It's like – you know, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. If you guys know the name of it, please put it in the chat group. But it's like that thing, but like it's like red, it's where amazing, it's just kind of like it's like pictures like New York, pictures of LA, pictures of like Azra. And I was like, oh, okay, a blast.
I miss those things. Yeah. Again, TBT. In the time before smartphones, that was our getaway.
Yeah, and I think my prediction is, I just want to see. Like, we're probably going to see more betrayals, we're going to see more reveals, but I, like a lot of people in the chat group are saying, I want to see a one-on-one between Pilgrim and, you know, Sonny, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting because Pilgrim and Sonny both want to, or both need something from each other.
Exactly.
So I think there's, you know, a common ground that they can kind of find a diplomatic solution to. It's just that thorn of MK and how emo he's going to be and how, like, you know, when he sees Sonny, like, how much rage that brings out of him. So I'm curious to see how well he's handling that and how mature he can kind of move on.
Yeah, I mean, definitely leave comments in the chat and let me know what you guys think, you know, is going to happen for the rest of the season. We'd love to hear what you guys are saying. But
yeah, definitely. Let's keep the conversation going because obviously we won't be here next week, but we'll definitely be back to bring all those up in June. Hopefully we'll have the full panel back for that as well. Till then, where can the people find you, Justin?
You can find me, Justin Yang, at your boy, Jay Yang, on Instagram.
You guys can follow me, JB, at Hey John Blake. Thanks again, Latoya, for joining us in the chat. We definitely want you here in the studio soon. So hopefully in June we'll have some guests for you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.